We live in a world where physical activity and sports are described as the way to maintain a fit and healthy body, the way to avoid illness and release stress. Since the Athens Olympics of 1896, the first Olympic Games in history, we have been taking sport in multiple disciplines to higher and higher, more competitive levels. And in this way, this stereotype of elite athlete or just leave it as the stereotype of the athlete has been encouraged. This tends to be related to someone muscular with good motor skills, but it is now when we have to face the fact that this is not that. This is not it. There is not a single type of athlete, because in reality, we all can be one. We all can be one. There are infinite disciplines, from basketball, soccer, swimming, volleyball, tennis, field hockey, skating, gymnastics, cycling, Formula One, boxing, shooting, chess, karate, American soccer, rugby. Oh. And I can keep going, but the important thing here is that each one of them is different, as well as the people who practice them. Anyone can practice physical activity either recreationally or competitively. Oh. But wait, in fact, there is something in common between these sports I mentioned. What is that common factor? Well, something really obvious. The brain. Different athletes need the brain to play different sports. And here we come back to the point of stereotypes. The entertainment industry has flooded us for years with movies and TV series showing athletes as those who stand out for their physical skills, but never for their mind or intellectual capacity. I don't understand why this happens, because it has been demonstrated that those beings who are in constant physical movement tend to solve problems faster than those who are not. Why does this happen though? Well, it is already being proven by the neuroscientists at universities such as Autonomous University of Barcelona that when we are trying to learn something, our brains need to change. The synapses of the neurons involved in the network we are working on to acquire this new knowledge have to have a level of adaptability to new situations, and exercise or physical activity makes our brain produce different substances that will help this function. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or BDNF, is a substance that promotes both the growth and survival of nascent neurons. So it will help to gain this level of adaptability and expansion to the networks. The increase in BDNF makes it possible for our neurons to adapt more easily, and therefore makes it easier for us to learn and remember. Oh, why remember? Well, it has been shown that if we are constant with our physical activity for at least 3 months, we can have an ample amount and reserve of BDNF, which is built up over the time that physical activity is maintained, which will make it easier for us to remember everything we learn. Our brain is more adaptable and moldable to new and unexpected situations. This is related to researchers at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California, who in 1990 found that running increased the birth of new hippocampal neurons in mice. The hippocampus is a brain structure related to memory, emotions, and learning. The scientists noted that this process neuron enlargement appeared to be linked to the production of the aforementioned brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or BDNF, which, as I said, promotes both the growth and survival of nascent neurons. After this study, the same scientists developed a series of investigations with which they determined that in humans, aerobic exercise also increased the production of BDNF. This in turn increases the size and connectivity of brain areas such as the hippocampus. Additionally, to support these results obtained in the above research, a randomized trial conducted by the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign demonstrated how 12 months of aerobic exercise produced a rise in BDNF levels and increased in hippocampal size and improvements in memory in older adults. That's not all. In 2019, a study was published in Brain Imaging and Behavior, where more than 7,000 middle-aged to older adults participated. It showed that people who spent more time in moderate physical activity had larger hippocampal volumes compared to those who didn't exercise constantly. So, I think you get the point. Exercising brings a lot of benefits to our hippocampus. And that's because the hippocampus is an essential structure, starting from the fact that it can generate 7,000 new cells daily. Besides that, it is the center of learning and memory capabilities. Increasing its size, for example, by simply going for a 3-kilometer walk every day, can bring multiple benefits that include better memory and a much lower risk of developing Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's disease. This increasing in size can be achieved clearly by practicing regular physical activity and improving your diet by including foods with antioxidants, fish and nuts, reducing your stress and sleeping better, but also doing activities that stimulate your brain, activities that require your intellectual or cognitive abilities, such as learning a new language. Oh wow, I seem to be getting ahead of myself, as we will be seen and talking about all of this and much more in the following chapters. In the following episode, so just let's get back on track to exercise. Because all of the above studies, research and trials have shown that physical activity stimulates neurogenesis. Neurogenesis is defined by Citali Helenes Gonzalez, part of NeuroMexico, as follows. I open quotes. When the brain is forming in the embryo, there are immature cells called neural stem cells, brain stem cells. These cells will give rise to all the cells of the central nervous system. A detailed description of the early stages of the central nervous system development can be found here. These neural stem cells divide symmetrically, meaning that one cell divides into two neural stem cells, but they can also divide asymmetrically, forming one neural stem cell and one neuron. The later process is called neurogenesis, which begins around the sixth week after conception or fertilization, when a sperm meets an egg. Close quotes. When we are born, we have about 100 billion neurons, but this number will continue to grow thanks to the neurogenesis that helps us with the production of new neurons, and this is stimulated every time we exercise. The importance of this process and the effect of physical activity on it lies in the fact that exercise helps us to stimulate the creation of neurons, which increases the cognitive reserve. We're going to be talking about this specific term later on. But a high cognitive reserve indicates a healthy brain and will give us benefits in the case of having some kind of brain injury, because the impact of this will be less. The healthier our brain is, the fewer effects will be visible in the long term. And it is like with Alzheimer's, a disease that is associated with old age, so at a certain age we become a risk population. However, if we have a good cognitive reserve, it is likely that we will not develop it, like this specific disease, or that we will develop it but with mild symptoms and more treatable at the same time. In conclusion, this research has established that exercise can help reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases. Physical activity has positive effects as we age. An example of this is what we have mentioned earlier about simultaneous neurogenesis, which consequently increases cognitive reserve. But the real question is, why does exercise have a positive effect on the brain? Being able to answer this question will lead us to look at the link between physical activity and brain health. If we can understand this relationship, perhaps we can leverage physical activity to design exercise routines that will boost people's cognition as they age, or simply perform physical work that can help protect and optimize our brain at any age. Now I'm going to try to answer our big question. why does exercise have a positive effect on the brain? I'll do so based on the evolution of our bodies. To begin with, our ancestors used to walk on four legs, and now we walk upright on two legs with bipedal posture. This means that the body balances precariously on one foot instead of two or more limbs, like apes. Being able to perform this movement requires the brain to coordinate information while adjusting the muscles of the whole body to maintain balance. In coordinating these actions, our brain are more challenged, cognitively speaking, than those of our ancestors with quadrupedal stance. Hunting and gathering were the human subsistence strategies for nearly 2 million years, until the rise of agriculture about 10,000 years ago. And experts from Duke University and the University of California argue that these subsistence methods lead our ancestors to do much more aerobic activity than other apes due to the long distance they traveled. So throughout our history and evolution as a human race, aerobic activity has always been present and accompanied us. As the animals that we are, we need to search for food and navigate to find it throughout movement. And this survival process carried out to feed ourselves involves our brain, from the control of the body to move, the capacity of multitasking, the memory to remember where we find food, the collection of auditory and visual information. Like, all these functions allow us to survive in the past, and that's how we evolved into today's Homo sapiens. And of course, in today's society, it's not necessary to perform aerobic activities and a lot of movement to find food and therefore survive. So this has led us to increase brain atrophy and cognitive declines that may be strongly related to our sedentary habits. From this evolutionary analysis, we can say that we should focus on exercising in a way that takes advantage of the mechanisms evolution has given to us to maintain and optimize brain performance. We can do this by creating exercise routines that are cognitively challenging, similar to the trails that our hunter-gatherer ancestors did, where a changing environment was a big obstacle. An example of one of the inactive routines can be exercising while playing a video game that's mentally demanding, because we'll be using our brain during and after exercise. These triggers increase survival of new neurons generated by neurogenesis stimulus. This was proposed in studies by Anderson Hanley, who showed that exercise and playing cognitively challenging video games at the same time can elicit a greater increase in BDNF than exercise alone. And finally, the US Department of Health and Human Services suggests that people should engage in aerobic exercise for at least 150 minutes a week at a moderate intensity. Sticking to this recommendation is a good thing you can do for your body, and it can improve your brain health. And I don't think I have a concrete answer to why exercise has positive effects on the brain, but based on the conclusion that we reached because of the evolutionary analysis kind of we did, and the wealth of information on the effectiveness of exercise and cognitively engaged brain that studies, trials, and research have provided and will continue to provide, we can see that we have a giant adaptive capacity in our brain. And if we take advantage of it throughout the psychological pathways that link the brain and the body, we can evolve our mind. By exercising the body and the brain, we will be able to keep it in an excellent condition for a great part of our life. Closing this chapter, let's take a look at some quick facts about the benefits of sports in case you are still not convinced. First of all, when you enjoy the exercise you're practicing, the benefits it brings to you increase by 50%. These benefits We're going to talk about it in the neurochemical level, and they include dopamine levels that improve, which makes us feel motivated and gives us creativity and optimism. It also increases noradrenaline, which will help you find yourself in a state of attention and wakefulness, ideal for executing complicated tasks. It also improves acetylcholine, which helps us in learning and memory. It also will increase serotonin, which will cause your mood to be very good, so it helps to combat depressive thoughts. And second, psychologically, it helps us to improve our self-image, because it also increases our self-confidence, and we will feel proud of ourselves, and we will have the energy to do things we want to do or to experiment new things as well. And so yeah, after all of this, do you still believe in the stereotype of athlete that society has imposed us? Because in my point of view, being an athlete myself, stereotypes don't represent a quarter of who we are. Actually none a stereotype at all. But like in the world, we should start to see all of us through who we are. In this case, let's look at athletes not just as players, but as people, because there is so much to offer with our great minds, because we all can be athletes in our way, in our own way. We all train our brains in some way, and this is what an athlete is. Mental strength, emotional strength, the strength of a team that we can all be part of if we decide to make a change in our daily routine. Of course, it doesn't have to be much, because with a low impact exercise like walking, we can start to make a change in our lives and the lives of the people around us. A little bit of sports will make all of our neurons very happy, encouraging you to be the best version of yourself, which is what we want to achieve. That way we will be a better person, a better friend, a better son, a better daughter, and a better father, mother, a better spouse, a better worker, and you will see that just by making small changes in your habits, you can make a change in your lives, in yourself, and in the people around you, and in your community. Thank you.